I am Lynn. I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm so very grateful to be here today. As our invitation to you is being read, I know that's for newcomers. However, I need to hear it on a regular basis because it just reminds me of where I came from and that this is my home. This is my home. This is where I feel most comfortable. This is where I can be most honest with myself and with everybody else. So, I want to read just a couple of paragraphs out of the big book because this is out of chapter six, Into Action. And to me, this is a true description of what I experience when I'm truly abstinent. And this is at the bottom of page 84 and the top of page 85. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And it took me a long time to find that paragraph in the big book, even though I'd read it over and over and over. I'd been in the program quite a while, many years actually. By the time one day I read it, it's like, oh my gosh, that's how abstinence feels. And then I'd heard people a lot in the program talk about nothing tastes as good as abstinence feels. And that described it because I fought everything and I resisted everything. And I was cocky whenever I was dieting. I was cocky. Oh, I'm doing this and I lost this weight. And look at me and I'm doing well because it was all my ego that I was just, I finally felt a little bit better about myself because I experienced so much self-hatred and self-loathing due to my compulsive eating that when I got any kind of reprieve, it was just like, oh, okay, I'm okay right now because I never felt okay. A little bit about my history. I grew up in the 50s and my mother was an alcoholic and a rageaholic and extremely violent. And in hindsight, I know now that she was severely mentally ill. However, she was able to, out in the world, put on this front and function very highly. And people really loved her. And I was terrified of her. I lived my life in fear and terror of my mother, and it was just a really hard way to grow up. And I always felt ashamed. I didn't really know what that word meant, except I knew how it felt. And I was expected to be perfect and do everything right without much instruction. And that was very difficult to deal with because I did really well in school. We were expected to get A's. And so I got A's in school. All of us did. There was never any acknowledgement for that. If I happened to get an A minus, I was in big trouble. So this whole idea of perfectionism that I learned to do and I practiced my whole life just about killed me. It just about killed me. I learned to take care of other people and never focus on myself because if I did, that meant that I was being selfish and greedy. So the focus was never on me, it was always on everybody else. And there was no love in our home. I never heard my mother say, I love you, never heard my dad say, I love you. My dad was a very kind of a gentle giant. He was always present, but there was no affection expressed at all until later in adulthood. So my first experience with food was sugar. And my mother was a wonderful cook and baker. And so until I was 13 years old, when she started working outside the home, she baked every single day and she was an excellent cook. And so there was an abundance of whatever baked good you can imagine was abundant in our home. And food was really abundant. My parents lived through the Depression, so I think part of that was where food became a big deal in our home, and everybody in our home was overweight. And so every meal was, I remember, I look back now and I think, wow, why was I so starved? But I think because I was so starved for love that I was starving in every area of my life. And so every meal, my mom would just put on this huge, display of food, and there was tons of food. And I remember just diving into it and filling up my plate and eating as fast as I could, and then filling it up again, and sometimes a third time. And looking back, I can see how starved I was for love and affection and even any kind of connection. And so sugar became a big deal for me. There was a lot of forms of abuse going on in the household. And so sugar gave me tremendous comfort, tremendous comfort. And it was really my best friend. And it worked for me until I came to OA at the age of 32. Well, actually, it worked for me till the age of 29. My mother died. And when my mother died, sugar stopped working. And so it was just devastating for me. Anyway, to back up a little bit, at the age of 13, I changed from a grammar school to a junior high school, from a school of about 400 kids to a school of 3,000 kids. And as a person who was terrified and very filled with fear, I really panicked. And all the friends that I had that went through grammar school with me ended up going to a different school. And so I went to this school and I didn't know anyone. And I was really terrified. And there was these two girls that were very obese. And at this point, I wasn't obese yet. And they said, well, come and hang out with us. And so that gave me even more permission. I could eat with them. And I gained 50 pounds that school year. And then that really increased the shame. So going along, I graduated from high school, dieted, yo-yo dieted, up and down. After I gained that 50 pounds, my mom took me to my first diet doctor. And so at age 14, through the time I went to OA, I was on and off of diet pills. And they worked when I took them, but I couldn't take them all the time. So it was just a very difficult time. Anyway, by the time I got to OA, I'd been married to an I married an alcoholic, and we were together for 7 years, had two children, got divorced when my children were 6 and 4. So I became a single parent, and food was a big deal then because I didn't have to hide it from anybody. The kids were too young to really notice, and my husband wasn't around. But prior to that, I hid my eating. I'd buy candy and then hide the wrappers under the car seat and, shove as much into my mouth as I could by the time I got home. So I had free rein with food. At 29, my mother died. And it was at that point that I finally felt a little bit safe. It's like, okay, now I don't have to be as afraid because she can't get to me anymore. And so I started telling the truth, and I started telling the truth to a friend of mine. And she was like, why are you so angry with your mother? She was really a wonderful person. And so she was not a safe person to talk to. And so for the next 3.5 years, that's when my eating disorder went full bore. I mean, I got to where I didn't want to answer the phone. I didn't want to answer the door. I got really paranoid. My sugar addiction progressed to such a point to where I was really toxic. I was really a mess. I got to the point to where the last 3 or 4 months before I started OA, all I did was eat sugar. I didn't eat any real food. And I couldn't stop. And I was crying every night. I was praying that I could, vomit and get rid of it so that I could feel better. But that was like the worst thing ever. So I never could do that to myself. But anyway, one morning, I worked a swing shift. And so in the morning, I watched a show. It might have been Oprah. I don't know what it was. But this show was on bulimia. And they were talking about bulimia being a disease. And I was watching that show and I'm just like, oh my God, I've been praying to have that disease. I mean, it was like a real eye-opener for me. And so they talked about Overeaters Anonymous. And I lived in Calistoga, a little small town. And I thought, well, I'm going to see if I can find out about that program. So I looked it up, and sure enough, there was one in Saint, a meeting in St. Helena on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock at the hospital. And I thought, okay. And then I thought, but I can't go because I work at night. I was at work till 9 o'clock. Well, lo and behold, my higher power had wonderful plans for me because, you know, I'm thinking I was kind of disappointed, but I was also relieved I don't have to go get help. You know, this conflict within me. And so I ended up going to work. And then that Friday, we got a notice. They called us into the office and said, you're all laid off. So I lost my job, which was, I was devastated. But the next, so the first Wednesday, I'm all day thinking about that meeting and making up excuses and rationalizing, justifying why I can't go to that meeting. So I didn't go to the meeting on the first Wednesday. But the following Wednesday, I got up and I was like, I have no excuse why I can't go. I have to go to that meeting. And so looking back, it was only the strength of a higher power that helped me get to that meeting because I was just such an introvert and so shy and scared. But I went, drove over to the hospital. I found the meeting and went in and I sat down in the meeting and just terrified. It's like, here I'm in this group with all these people that I don't know. And they had a chairperson and the woman talked about eating exactly the way I ate. And I just started crying. I was like, oh my God, somebody else eats the way I eat? I mean, it was just miraculous. And so I got a bunch of literature and went home. And that Saturday, I read it all and I worked through the 12 steps the best I could, which by myself, but it was powerful because I was finally willing to look at something. And you know, I have to say, I had all the, every self-help book there was in the world, and I read all of them, but I could never apply them because I was always doing it by myself. And once I got to OA, then I had a sponsor and I started asking for help and following some guidance. But the true miracle that happened for me at that first meeting was, I've neglected to say that was my daughter's 13th birthday. And I bought a cake and I ate three big pieces before I went to the meeting. And so I went home and I didn't eat any more of the cake. I didn't eat anything else that night. That Saturday, she didn't eat any more. And Saturday, I ended up throwing the cake away. And I didn't want any of it. And I'd been crying myself to sleep every night, praying I wouldn't wake up in the morning. That's where I was. And I think God knew that I was so sick that I needed a miracle to happen. And so God removed that sugar addiction from me. And it just, you know, it's like, to me, it's poison. It's like heroin. It's just, it's what this describes is it's not an issue anymore. But then I had to deal with food. So I needed to work the 12 steps to deal with my food addiction. I came into OA, that was March 10th, 1983. So I've been in the program for about 42 years. In the last 4 years, I left. I live in a small town. The meeting kind of dwindled and there was just not a lot of, you know, people attending the meetings. And it was prior to COVID. So for 4 years, I didn't go to any OA meetings. I'm also a recovering alcoholic and an Al-Anon, so I've always attended those meetings that whole time. So last November, it was just like, you know, the only thing that works for me is OA. The only thing that has ever worked for me is OA. So I started a meet an online meeting here, and there's been six of us attending, so we just got it registered, so now other people can attend. And you know, as our invitation to you is being read, it was just like, this is my home. You all know, I pe see people nodding their heads. You all know what this felt like, you know, to be in the disease. And since I'd been started that meeting in November, I thought, I need to be going to some meetings online also. So I've been attending two other meeting OA meetings online, and they both are recovery from relapse focused. And that's my story, because I am in recovery from relapse. And so it took me from November till July 15th, I got abstinent again. And everything started, coming back together. But I took the action of showing up at meetings. I got a sponsor. I've been attending meetings. I'm sharing, and I've been abstinent again. And nothing works for me except the 12 steps. Nothing works for me except the 12 steps. I have a disease, and it's spiritual in nature, and it's physical, emotional, and mental. And I need my higher power to help me on all three levels, because I can't. And I tr believe me, I tried everything. I didn't go back to eating sugar. Thank God I didn't go back to eating sugar. But that was just never, that's something that has internalized for me, that I just never go back to eating sugar. And I'm very grateful to my higher, because I wouldn't have made it back to OA if I'd started sugar again. But I've had to deal with food, and so I have a really good food plan. I have a sponsor. I'm working the steps. I'm on step two now. I'm a very resistant person. And that was one thing that all over all these years, I have very strong self-will, but it's the resistance to doing things that are good for me. And as our invitation to you was being read, it was like I started getting really emotional and teared up, because why do I re resist what's good for me? And my first sponsor told me, why does it matter, Lynn? The reality is you're resistant. And so my resistance is much less than it is when I first came through the doors. However, I have this resistance, and my higher power is the only thing that can help me with that resistance. God's will, not mine, be done. That's where I've got to be each and every day, around my eating disorder and around everything, every area in my life. And there's so many things that I've given up over the years that I've surrendered to. And the longer I'm in the program, the more I realize I'm just surrendering at a deeper level. This higher power is in the steps, and in the principles of the steps, and being abstinent, I'm less resistant. I just have to say that I'm much less resistant. When I'm in the food, forget it. I don't stand a chance. But when I'm abstinent, I can have a choice. I can choose to go to a meeting. I can choose what my food plan is. I can choose to pray or not to pray. I can choose to write or not. That's the ability to choose. And when I'm in the food, there's no choice at all available. So anyway, I know I'm running out of time here. I didn't know that I'd be able to talk for 20 minutes. Surprises me. But anyway, I'm so grateful for this program, that I get to be here. I get to be in your presence. I get to share some experience, strength, and hope that I hope will encourage someone else to keep coming back, because this is home. This is home. And I intend to keep coming back and not leave again. Because that was, even though I wasn't suffering like I did before I came to OA, my self-will was strong, and I kept trying to do it by myself, and I can't do it alone. So thank you. I'm glad we're all here today.